for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, April 22nd, 2000. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher of the afternoon.
I'm not anxious to gain the microphone, so I'm here.
You gals heard Miss Mildred already today, so we'll let you listen to her a second time. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I like that song a while ago when the prophecy came forth. I was thinking about the song we sing in our church sometimes. It says, take me higher, blessed Savior. Take me higher as I travel. Make my feet like the hind feet as I journey. Don't let me slip nor stumble. Let me soar like the eagle. Take me higher. Show me Jesus all the way. I like that. Isn't that good? We want to go higher, soar higher and higher with the Lord. Up into the heavens. Get out of this earthly realm. This fleshly realm. Praise the Lord. I was sharing upstairs on casting out thoughts. Never heard anybody teach on it before. I'm not going to teach again, girls. I'm just going to share a little bit with these men. They need to know. I bet they have ungodly thoughts sometimes. They get mad at their wives if I could just shake them real good. You know, cast them out. Cast them out. When the Lord spoke to me, I went through a rough time of thoughts and anger and all this. And the Lord told me to cast my thoughts out. I was trying to cast them down, and they wouldn't stay down. So he told me to cast them out. Cast out the thoughts. Don't let them find a place to roost in your mind. You know, I'm not going to teach on the occult, but I'm going to teach on bitterness this afternoon, root of bitterness. You know, this little girl came to me. I think she left. I know she did. She told me she was leaving, and she was weeping upstairs. And I don't know how she was. I would say 14 or 15, maybe 16. But she was crying, and she said she had been in the occult, and she wanted prayer. And so all I could do was just pray a short time because they were ready to go, ready to leave the camp. And I thought it really hurt to let her go without doing more than just breaking curses and binding the spirits on her. And I asked her, I said, well, are you going to be here this afternoon? She says, no, we're leaving right now. So y'all pray for her. As we pray that the Lord will free her and not let her get back into this bondage that she's been in. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come now and lift up this child. Lord, I don't know her name, but you know all about her. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I ask the prayer that I prayed for and the deliverance that I did for her. Lord, protect her. Put your heads of angels around her to protect her and keep her safe, Father, in the name of Jesus. We break and bind the bondage of any satanic group that would try to bring her back into it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. And we bind the spirits over this place, and I call for angel. I should send your angels in to cleanse the church from any spirits that's left here from deliverance, that they will not hinder or cause drowsiness or sleepiness in the name of Jesus, or hinder our hearing and seeing and understanding. And Father, I thank you for opening our spiritual ears and our eyes. So let us see by the Spirit those things that you have for us, and put within each of us a desire to go further and further with you, to leave this realm of the things of the earth that have the weights that so easily beset us, and let us set our feet upon higher ground and like hind feet, that we might soar with you, Father. And we praise you and give you glory this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to start with Hebrews in the 12th chapter on the root of bitterness. You know, I had to get rid of a lot of bitterness, resentment, and anger for the last few months. And I really have repented of it. I didn't mean to get into it, but I was just, the more that those thoughts, that's why the, how the Lord taught me about getting those thoughts, the more they penetrated my mind, the harder it was to get free from them. So as I was looking at this, studying this, and I was thinking, you know, it talks about in Hebrews 12, the root of bitterness. And let's read this in verse 15 through 17. Says, looking diligently, lest that any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicators or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Well, we know that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You know, when you look at, we deal with bitterness a lot of times, but never go to the root of it. And you know, the root, it's like with a tree, you can cut a tree off, and the root, it usually leaves a stump. In fact, I have some in my yard that the light company came and cut down the trees that run to the power lines, but they left a stump in my yard. Now, that's not growing, but it's right there, and it's interfering with everything, all my grass cutting and everything. But if we don't get the root of what's causing us to be bitter out, I think my chain got on dead. I got to get it off. That's one way to get it off. Just take it off. I cut my yard. I'm the caretaker. I'm the, whatever you call it, that does all the outside work. And I cut my yard every week. I'm the gardener. And I mow my grass, but next week it's sprung back up. So we need to go after the root and not the symptoms of the bitterness. And I know we've had a lot of teaching on bitterness, but you know, we need to really look at it and see if there be any root of bitterness in you or I. Say, well, I've been delivered, you know, that's good. But have you been delivered from the real root, or have you just been getting the top surface off? Let's go over to Genesis and look at Esau. I had never thought of this before. Another day I was reading this in Genesis 27 and verse 34. And you know the story when Jacob deceived his father, and Jacob and his mother deceived his father. And I always thought, when I was looking at this, I was thinking, Jacob was so mad, Esau was so mad at Jacob, and he was. But can you imagine that part of his anger and bitterness came in from his father? Let's read it. He said in verse 34, it says, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he's taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? He said, father, you just got one blessing. And then you, as you read it, he blesses him, but not with the first fruit blessing, not as the eldest son, because Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob, had traded it for food. In verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the day of mourning for my father, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother, Jacob. See, a spirit of murder came in through this bitterness and hate that had come in. And he said, and these words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. And you know, if we look back into our childhood, we can see times when we were so angry at our siblings, brothers or sisters, when they received something maybe we wanted. You say, well, you're just trying to dig up things. No, I'm trying to show you that somewhere back here, if you're dealing with bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment, and maybe these thoughts enter in, you need to find out where they're coming from. because so many times when we go into deliverance, we just get the surface things. When we go after, say, for instance, we're going after addiction, or say alcohol, we go after the spirit of alcohol sometimes, and then we forget to go after the addiction, the one that caused us to crave and desire alcohol. You need to go after, like, this, the desire of alcohol and the taste of it and the craving, and then go after, why did you start drinking to start with? I was just using this for an example. Why? And many times we see that there's a deeper root. And in the area of when we go after or dealing with incest and of child abuse, and we see kids that are tormented, that they're fighting and they're outward, they're rebelling and they're angry, and they're angry about everything, and they attack one another and attack others, and they're hard to control because of the frustration and the hurts and the pains that came in through the abuse. Then these are the results, and if the person isn't delivered from them, then they're dealing with them all their lives. But they're only dealing with the results of the abuse instead of going after the root. And so it's the same way with the bitterness. And you know, tell you something, bitterness is etched in people's faces. We had a lady that came to our church. She used to play the piano and the Assembly of God Church in Memphis, one of the big churches. And Jim and I used to go visit every once in a while. We were still in the Baptist church. And he and I both, we didn't know a whole lot about deliverance. We were just getting into it. Or maybe even before we got into deliverance. But we would see her sitting on the piano bench, and she was so hard. There was no joy. Just her countenance just and features were just really, they were just etched in her face. And years later, one night, one Sunday night, she showed up at our church, but not for herself, but for her daughter. And she brought her in. They brought her in and said, she needs deliverance. Deliver. The mother needed it first. The girl was like 28 years old, and she was hearing voices and been tormented all her life. Been to psychiatrists, had all kinds of medications, all kinds of treatments, all kinds of counseling. You can't counsel a demon out. I haven't ever talked one out. Have y'all? And she, when she came in, we started working on the daughter, and the Lord said, the root of the thing's in the mother. She wasn't the abuser, but she was the root cause of it, because let me show you how it worked. She had a brother that was younger than this girl, and when he was born, he was born with all kinds of physical problems. All his intestines were on the outside and all this, and they said he couldn't live. And he's 30-something years old today. But the doctors, he was in the hospital, and the mother was having to give all of her attention to this child to take care of him. And while the mother was away was when the girl was abused. And so this girl really hated her mother and resented her because she was never there for her, because she had her hands full with the other child. And so when the Lord spoke to me and said, she's got to forgive her mother before you can get anything out of her, because she was so full of resentment and bitterness toward her mother. Now, she really hated the man that abused her, and we went back and got rid of that. She had to take care of that too. But the mother was the key to getting the child delivered. The girl, she's not a child. She wasn't a child. So what we have to do is find the cause of the bitterness, the resentment. You know, if you've been seeking deliverance for a long time and can't get rid of, have not got rid of the thing that you've been seeking deliverance for, you either don't want to get free of it, you've made friends with it and you're not willing to give your sin up, or you're not getting to the root cause of it. Amen? Can you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm about ready to ask, are y'all still with me, or have you gone home? Praise the Lord. You know, as I said at the beginning, we've had done a lot of teaching on this at different times, but I was ministering to myself in the area of bitterness. when the Lord really began to talk to me about forgiveness over some things that I had been angry about, and it was bringing bitterness into me because I was angry over a lot of things that I had no control over in the last few months. And it just lifted a load off of me when God began to point out to me things that I needed to take care of. You know, Jesus said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And so we let these little things just sit there sometimes and we don't take care of them. And then the bitterness comes, that bitterness will grow, the root of it will take hold, and the tree comes forth. It's a tree. It becomes a tree. In Genesis in chapter 25 and verse 34, we go back to where Esau's bitterness first begun was when he sold Jacob his birthright. And 35:34 says, "Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." And that birthright is the right of the firstborn. That's he comes into the authority of in the family, and what the first son is. In other words, he's like when the father dies and he takes over the whole clan and he's ruler. You know, I say ruler, well, he's all in authority over them anyways. And he sold that to Jacob. But we know that God planned for Jacob to be who he, the next in line anyways. But through deception and supplanting Esau, Jacob took over. And so therefore, Esau hated his brother. Anybody in here have any resentment or hidden bitterness against a brother or sister? Don't raise your hand, but think about it. Let's go to 1 Samuel. I'm like Brother Bob now. I know it's in here somewhere because I found it this morning. Chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. You know, you remember Hannah? That she was barren and she was in bitterness. In verse 10 it says, verse 9 says, Hannah rose up after they had eaten and sallow and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul. See, the bitterness can get into your soul, into your mind, your will, your emotion, your personality. It takes root. And when I look at this, you can look at the root of a tree. Well, I can just do it with my roses because I raised roses, or did raise them. And there's all kinds of, you know, they're kind of like this. They have one big taproot. If you cut that taproot, the bush dies. And if you buy roses and it doesn't have the taproot, they won't live. And so we see that she was in bitterness of soul. And that thing, what I see is that if that root is in our soulish area, our minds and wills and emotions, we need to get it out because it will affect every part of our being. He said it was in her soul, and she prayed. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli marked her mouth. But she prayed and sought the Lord, and he gave her the child. We know that Samuel came forth. But what I wanted you to see was that there was bitterness in her soul. And because of that, she was praying to the Lord. Her bitterness, what was her bitterness? I could see that she could have very easily been bitter against God. Anybody in here ever had any resentment or bitterness toward God? Been angry with him? Well, Lord, now I prayed and they got the blessing. Lord, I wanted that and they got it. And jealousy comes from this bitterness. And I see, I'm telling you, because I went back and said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I was angry with God. I was angry with everybody. And it came forth out of me to other people. And I would think, Lord, what's wrong with me? Why am I like this? Why am I? People would talk to me and I was just angry with them for no reason. It seemed like that they were always saying the wrong thing. And it wasn't them that was wrong, it was me. And so I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, show me. And then he began to show me that I was letting bitterness come into me against God. And I repented and I said, Lord, as Brother Bob's sermon this morning, Jesus said, What did he say? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. And so you learn to loosen it unto the Lord. But I repented of it and called it out. And then I go to the church and get the church to pray for me. Phil, you've been in my church. You know how they gang up on you. They love to do that, especially on me. And they prayed for me over a lot of things. And the bitterness, resentment, and anger, and unforgiveness. So all of these spring from bitterness. Your anger can come from it, your resentment, your anger, your hatred, and all of this. Okay, let's go over to Job. Job 23. Job came before the Lord. And this was kind of, when I read this, was reading this, I thought, Lord, that's just about the way I felt like. I felt like God was just, I don't know where he was. You know, when you're in this kind of a situation, God is there, but you can't hear him because of what's going on in you. Job 23, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. Man, I had a bitter complaint against the Lord. My soul is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come even to his seat. I would order my cause and before him and fill my mouth with argument. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he was saying to me. And see, my thing was, you know, the word tells us, and I pray the word a lot, and he said, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He said, put in the remembrance of what my word said. And I said, God, your word said, and you don't believe I didn't throw the word out there. He had given me a word once before, said, I shall be fat and flourishing and bring forth fruit in their old age. And I said, God, your word said that it's not good for man to live alone. Now, Lord, now look. I was giving him his word. And I didn't hear anything from him. And when I began to repent and ask him to forgive me for my anger and resentment and all this, whatever all was working, then God began to talk to me. And so what I want you to know, we can, you know, the Lord said, try the spirits. Well, he also said, remind him of his word. You think God doesn't know what his word says? Sure he does. But he wants to know if you know what his word says. So the only argument we've got is what his word said. And then we have to trust him, and you learn to trust the Lord. You learn to roll the care of it over on the Lord. You learn to, you just say, Lord, I don't know. Now you, and when people say things to me now, and I say, I don't know. If you want to know, ask God. And I'm talking about my husband. Because I've had many people ask me, why? Because I was saying why to the Lord. And somebody told me one time, now then you're going to stop saying why, and you're going to start to say how. How? And that was where I had come to. And then I came to the place and said, okay, Lord, you know and I don't. And that's okay. So you and I are going on. Whatever the Lord wants. But you see, you've got to be willing to go back to the root of what the problem is. I was sharing with the ladies upstairs yesterday about my son, that Jim and I had really prayed. We had four kids. And one of our sons was in drugs, and well, two of them had been in drugs. The older one had been in drugs years ago, and God had delivered him, brought him home, and stayed with me 9 months. I've told that story. I won't tell that one. I won't tell this one. Because to me, what God did with this last one, we had to put you call tough love. You know, if you're out preaching this, you're going to have to walk in it. I'm telling you, I shared with some of the women. I've been talking to them, saying, you need to turn those kids loose and let God deal with them. You can't, as long as you're going to be God to them, they don't need God.
Right.
And so my son, my kid, was 50 years old. I wanted to take a stick to him. That wouldn't do any good. So anyway, make a long story short, I had been doing everything, you know, helping him, doing everything with him. He has a lot of physical problems right now, which he brought on himself through the drugs and the alcohol and all of that. And Jim and I had prayed and prayed for him, and he ended up in jail. Last year, he spent 5 months in jail. I got a call one night from a policeman. He said, he wanted to know who he was calling me, and I said, yeah, I'm Mrs. Coffey. He said, well, we have your son. He had an accident. And I said, Is he okay? And I asked him, is he okay? He said, yeah, he's okay. He just bumped a car. And he had this big old Doberman dog with him. He always had the dog in the car with him. And because he raised Dobermans. And anyways, he said, he wants you to come get his dog. I said, I'm not going to get no dog. He said, well, we're going to take it to pound. I said, be my guest. He said, well, it'll cost. I said, look, I'm not coming after that dog. You can tell my son so. And he said, well, he's going to jail. I said, I can't have that. And I was just really bugged. I mean, to tell you, I'd been taking care of him and literally buying groceries for him and paying his bills. And I'm telling you, and see, we were meeting his needs. Jim would tell me to do it, and I'd do it. And I thought I was helping him. I really did. And so he went to jail, and I had to go get his truck. And that truck was parked on the airport, at the airport parking lot, and we brought it home. But it came out like this. He came home, he got out of jail in about 5 months. We did not do anything about it. My husband, when he was so sick, went down to check on him. And he walked up the stairs and couldn't get out of breath. And I almost just passed out before he could get to him. And I wouldn't let him go back. I said, you're not going back. And Jim, it just really hurt Jim to see his son in jail. And I said, Hank, we're going to leave him there. And we left him there. He got out of jail and he came home. And I had some money of his that we had taken. He had had let me tell you, he had $29,000 that he had got from his company when he left it. And in 4 months, the drug dealers had all of but $3,000. And when he got in jail, my husband made him give him the thing to get it out of the bank. And he got the money out of the bank and we put it in our camp. And I'm just telling you how things are, and I'm going to tell you what happened afterwards. But we paid his bills. Jim went and got a lawyer for him. He wanted a lawyer, and we got that. And after that, we just backed off. Well, he got out of jail, and I still don't know this day how he got out because the lawyer wasn't doing anything for him. But anyway, he came home, and I gave him he had $2,000 left, and I wrote a check and gave it to him. And in 4 days, it was gone, and he was in hospital. We don't know yet what happened because he doesn't remember. He liked to die. He had his head cut open, split open, and he was beat up. And we figured his drug dealers got him. And he was on, I think, crack. I don't know that, but he was on. He never told us, but he was in the hospital, and we didn't know what happened to him. But he got out of the hospital, and the man brought him home. And he came in, and his dad told him he couldn't stay. He had no place to go and no money. Now, that wasn't easy to do. Neither one of us wanted to do it, but before he left, y'all said, boy, y'all were hard-hearted. Let me tell you something. I was at watering my roses, and my husband was sitting on the patio, and he came over there where I was. My son did. Jim wasn't able to walk around. He just came out and was watching me in the yard. And my son came over there, and he was telling me everybody was wrong with him. And I looked at him, and I said, John, I love you, and your daddy loves you, and your sisters and your brothers love you. They will do anything for you, but not like you are. And I said, we won't either. I said, we love you. You blamed everybody on the sun but yourself. Now, when you stop blaming other people, start forgiving them for what you think they've done to you, God will work in your life. Now, I don't remember what all I said, but I preached to him. He followed me, and I preached. And I can do it. And in a little while, we went in the house, and I went to fix dinner. And his dad told him, said, you can't stay here. And then Jim preached. He got another dose of forgiveness, forgiving others, and telling him that he wasn't hurting anybody but himself, holding unforgiveness and bitterness against other people. And Jim told him, said, you're going to have to be delivered from that bitterness, but you need to start forgiving. And, you know, my other son has a mission here in Little Rock, and he had told us, he said, well, I'm going to send over and get him and take him to the mission. Well, I thought he was going to take my son to his mission. He didn't want him either. Bless his heart, nobody wanted to do. We loved him, but and it hurt. Let me tell you, I didn't sleep any that night because I was real concerned about him. I didn't, you know, these thoughts would come and he was lying somewhere in the doctor and he had bed or hungry and wet clothes. The only thing he had was the clothes on his back. I kid you not. And this man that came that he sent from the mission came, picked him up and carried him to the Salvation Army and dropped him off and drove away. And he told me later, he came back before his dad got real bad, to tell his dad. He said, the best thing ever happened to me was what y'all did. He said, I kept hearing mama's voice and kept hearing dad's voice telling me that I needed to forgive and I needed to repent. And he said, he went into that mission and he said, I knew that I was where, if I didn't do something, I was going to die. He said he received Jesus that night. He got saved that night, and I think it was about 2 weeks later, he came to our house. They brought him back to see Jim, or it might have been longer, I don't remember. But he was so changed that when my son walked in the house, I almost didn't recognize him. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ shone out of him, the light of God, shone out of that son of mine until he was beautiful to see, and just crying, just walking around crying. He wanted to talk about Jesus. He told me, he said, I want to witness, and I can't find anybody to witness to. And I said, well, you just witnessed to me. He just told me all about all this. You know, he's telling me how the Lord got a hold of him. But you see, he was so full of bitterness against other people and resentment that it almost destroyed him. And today, he came to visit me 2 weeks ago, and we stayed up to 2:30 at night talking about the Lord. Talking about the Lord. He had been in so much pain he couldn't sleep. I bound spirits of pain on him, and he slept two nights at my house. And he hadn't had sleep like that, he said, in ages. He said, Mother, I don't know what that must be. Just must be peace in this house. But I didn't have any pain. I told him, I said, I bound that pain on you. Don't you remember? He said, yeah, but I didn't know that's what happened. I started binding him, and I just continued binding the spirit of pain until he said he moved. And he said he was doing this, and he said, you know, I feel better. And when he went to bed, he slept. But you see, let me tell you what he's doing now. He's going to all these people he was so bitter towards and so full of unforgiveness against them and asking them to forgive him. He's gone to his children, his ex-wife. He came to his father, spent the whole day talking to his dad. And he said he really regretted that he had not had more time with his dad because of where he'd been. It was hard to do that. Very hard, but my son was so full of bitterness, it was killing him. And God is just doing a work. He hasn't got into deliverance yet, but I gave him a manual, deliverance manual. He said, Mother, I read a lot. Why am I giving me some books? And I thought, Lord, what shall I give him? I gave him a book on the name of Jesus. And the Lord said, give him a manual, a deliverance manual. And I thought, he knows nothing about deliverance, but Lord, I'll do it. And he came back to me and he said, you know, he said, I've been reading that deliverance manual, and he says, sometimes I just, you know, I just really get in trouble. He didn't say trouble. I'll tell you what he says. I go in the bathroom and throw up. I said, you know what you're doing? You're getting free from a lot of demons. So bitterness can destroy you. And if it comes in, and when Job was talking about sin, when he come before the Lord, he had presented his bitterness. See, this is what we was trying to tell this son of ours. You're the ones at fault. You need to get your life changed. You can blame everybody and the son for what's happened to you. But until we are saying, Lord, it's me and you. And we ask God to cleanse us and forgive us and then help us. You know, someone used that scripture, I don't know, over in Matthew where it said, if your brother has aught against you, to go to your brother and ask him to forgive you. And if he won't hear you, just take somebody from the church and take another one with you. And then if he won't hear you and so forth. And so we need to do this. We need to go back to wherever this started. And as I'm talking to you, some of you are bound to be seeing some things in your background you need to forgive someone for and ask God to deliver you from all the bitterness and resentment you have against them. You need to forgive the one that you have it against. And so let's go on in Job over in chapter 10. Let's go back over there and look at that. In verse 1 he said, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my company. complaint upon myself. I was speaking in the bitterness of my soul. I was saying to God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. So Job said his soul was weary. I have to confess this. I was talking about my son, but let me talk about me for a minute. I was in so much hurt and pain and bitterness and resentment, I wanted to die. I came over here Thanksgiving, and I came back at Christmas, and everybody saying, you're strong. I thought, oh, Lord, if you only knew, when I'm by myself. And I was saying, God, I said a lot of things. And I wanted to die. And that's what I was saying with Job. He said he was in bitterness of soul. He didn't want to go on. Did you ever get to the place that you just really didn't care? I mean, you thought, well, what's the use? Here, I was thinking, here I am all by myself. Doc said, who cares? Doc said, self-pity. I said, probably. But they had done deliverance on me, Doc, for self-pity. I mean, they got left everything except the bitterness. And I had almost let it really get a hold of me, because I went back and repented and asked God to forgive me for saying I didn't care whether I lived or not. And I had to run. Let me tell you something. I had to be delivered from the spirit of death. I'd let it in. He said, how'd you do that? Because I opened the door with my mouth. You know what I mean? This is our problem right here, biggest part of it. Especially mine. I don't know about y'all. Y'all may do a lot better than me. But anyways, we get in weariness and bitterness of soul, and when we do, we despair of life. I'm trying to remember. We had a phone call Wednesday, back here, that a lady's granddaughter was threatening to take her life, wasn't it? And we were trying to reach her and trying to help her. This child. Now you stop and think. What causes a child to want to take their life? Fear, all of this stuff that's going on in the world, drugs, whatever. And yet, I have to believe that all of this comes from the sins of the fathers that in our kids. We need to get rid of this iniquity that Brother David was talking about. It's the sins of the fathers, and he said over in Isaiah and Leviticus that we have to confess the sins of our fathers. And I find that when you go to pray and break those ties and to break those curses, you need to ask God to forgive. You need to ask God for forgiveness for the sins that your fathers committed. That's what it means. Confess the sins of the fathers. You also have to confess your own sin. We can blame our iniquity and sins on the sins of our fathers. But let me tell you something. God showed me the safeguard of the sins of the fathers that we walk in. Why they're not all manifested in you and I. They're not there and working in us until we open the door in sinning ourselves and letting them become real in us. Did I say that where you can understand what I'm saying, or are y'all all left and gone home? You see, they're there. We're under all those curses. That's the protection. That's the safeguard that God has given us, is that until we open the door through some sin, they don't have a right to operate. Because if they did, none of us would be here. We'd all be wiped out. And so we have to open the door. And that's why it's so important to get rid of them, confess them and get rid of them, and not give them an opportunity to operate in us. Did your mother, or did your father, or your grandfather? I don't even know what my grandfather and grandmother walked in. They were dead when I was a child. So were they walking in bitterness and hatred? And what do you know about them? Is that where it come from in us? Praise the Lord. I will get through. I'll just skip over it. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go on. I seem to be boring them silly this day, Lord. Let's go to Exodus. Okay, let it soak in. Exodus chapter 22. No, excuse me, Exodus 15. You know, this is where Moses and them came out of the wilderness, and they came to the, in verse 22 of Exodus 15 says, Moses, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and there, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. You know, I had a reference in my Bible to go over to Psalms. I'm not going to go there, but it, in Psalms 105, it talked about when they came out of the desert, there was not any sick among them. There was no, their clothes hadn't worn out. Their shoes hadn't worn out. They came out and they had no sickness or disease among them. God had taken care of them in the wilderness. And yet they came out and they began to murmur. When they came to that water and it was bitter, and they began to complain. You ever do that? Sure you do. We do. He said, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? I'm telling y'all something, people. How did I say this? Oh, well, I'll say it. Brother Glenn and Sister Irma have run this camp for years. And they work hard. I'm telling you the truth. Y'all try to keep up that man. Nobody keep up with him. Nobody. Say things that we shouldn't say. If everything isn't just perfect, and we think we, you know, I wouldn't want this job. They couldn't give it to me for love of the money. I wouldn't have it.
Well, God told you to.
Well, and he told Lord, please. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. But I could, Brother Glenn, I couldn't live under all this stuff. It, you know, I just, well, if he, you know. But anyways, he got me. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is we need to lift them up, and we need to get rid of all of our complaining things. What we do is we're taking things that are bothering us and listen, and when you complain or talk, even among yourselves, you lose words, cursive words on them. Did you know that? You know, I shared upstairs that power of life and death, death and life in the tongue. And Jesus said our words are spirit in their life. And when we complain, and when we do, whether it's them, but with one another, we're loosening things upon them, on each other. And we need to really set a guard upon our mouth. And like I was telling you, that I was mad at everybody and everything everybody said, the people weren't doing anything. It was the other thing that was causing me to lash out at the people in the church. So we need to, when you're lashing out at somebody, you need to find out where it's coming from. Why are you doing it? Because I had to go back and apologize to my church. Then one of those women, and bless his heart, Morton. Bill knows who I'm talking about. But the thing is, it was my problem, and I was lashing out at others. And you can lash out at your kids. You'll lash out at your husband. You'll lash out at people just because this stuff is working in you. And God's wanting us to get rid of it. And he said here, they cried and came against Moses. And he said, and he cried unto the Lord in verse 25 and said, the Lord showed him a tree which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And you know, we need to go before the Lord. We need to go back to the cross. And I said the tree is the cross. And we need to take these things back to the cross first and repent because of what God has done upon the cross for you and I, what Jesus has done, and take our confess our sins to him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then get rid of those spirits that came in through the things that we have opened the door for. And he said, and verse 26 says, and said, if thou wilt build it, hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do it, do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I'll put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You got sickness in your body, bitterness, the root of it. Go back and read it. They came and they complained and they grumbled, and God said, if you obey my word. Well, he didn't mean, he had blessed them. He put the cloud over them in daytime, a fire at night. And here they go, one little thing happens, and every time a little something happens, they want to go back to Egypt. And then me, I say, goodbye. Wouldn't you hate to have been in charge of that murmuring bunch? That's where we are now. All right. And so what you need is you need to look. If you're walking, if you've been prayed for and you're walking in any physical problems, you need to go back and see if there's a root of bitterness there. Oh, me. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2. I'll just quit in a little bit because I'll never get through. I got two pages of notes, and I know I'll never, so I'll just read a little while, and we'll go into deliverance. Because I know y'all all just jump up and down wanting deliverance, because I can tell by your expression.
You need to expound on that 26th verse a little more.
Did I not? I'll go back to it. Okay. Exodus 15. Let me go back to it. Okay. Okay, let's go back to it. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. In verse 26 of Exodus 15, he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight. What's right in his sight? It's his word, doing his word and obeying his word. He said, that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments. You know, we're not doing the word. We're compromising it, we're justifying it, and we say, well, that's in the Old Testament. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? He said he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. And we seem to think that because he came, and then that we're in the, a lot of people just walk totally in the New Testament and say, well, I'm not under the old. I don't see where it's divided myself. It's one book. And if we don't obey this word, if we don't clean up our lives, if we don't make things right between us and our brother, between us and our God, you know, we need to make things right. You can't keep things right this way if you don't make them right this way. What did he say in Matthew? He said, if you don't forgive your brother, if you don't forgive them, then God won't forgive you. So we need to repent of our sin. We need to repent of our sin of unbelief and disobedience to the Word of God. Every promise in this book that God has given us has got a condition with it. There is something God says you've got to do. I heard Mark 11, 22 preached and 23 preached till it was coming out of my ears, but they never preached 24, 25, where it says that you've got to forgive and you've got to obey the Word. And it's a condition that you... If you're praying and seeking God for something and you're not in healing and deliverance, you need to ask the Lord why you're not receiving it. You know what it is? We don't want to hear it. God will tell you. And you say, that's the devil. And you say, I'm not going to do that, or I don't want to do it. You know, you have a will. God did not make us robots. He gave us a will. And we're free. We have a free will. And we either will do the word and obey it or we won't. It goes back to this business of forgiving. Well, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter. God forgave you. What you do? What did I do? Good grief, what did we do before we came to the Lord? We live like the devil. We live for the devil. I think about when we go to praising the Lord and how sometimes I see people just stiff. And I can't hardly get my feet up off the floor. I'm getting better at it. In a loosable way, they get better. But we don't do anything in the area of worshiping the Lord the way God wants us to. You used to go to a ball game before you came to the Lord and your kids were playing ball? I've been there, no. Scream at everybody. Just yell and scream and act like an idiot. We did. And I told the Lord when I came to the Lord, I said, God, I act like a fool for the devil. Now I'm going to be a fool for you. I don't care what anybody says about me. Because I want to please God. And I'm going to do it. If you ever told me to turn a cartwheel, I'd try. I can't do it. I don't know how. But whatever he says. And we need to obey his word. If we want him to heal us, we need to obey his word. We need to eat right. We need to drink right. We need to think right. And we need to walk right. And we need to be obedient to the word of God. We haven't, you know, when I talk about poor people look at me that way, well, we're not under the doll. Well, the book says that pork is an unclean animal. You eat a pig.
It's an abomination.
It's an abomination, and it'll kill you. Catfish, fish, I don't know. I don't like fish, so I can't remember all of them. But shrimp, you're not supposed to eat shrimp. All this stuff that you eat, well, I love it. You say, I'm going to eat. I don't care what that woman says. And they go over to where God gave Peter the vision, and they say, well, he said everything was clean. You know, don't call what I clean unclean. That's what God told Peter that. But what was he talking about? Where was he fixing to send Peter to? To Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile. And he was going, he wasn't even talking about food. And we said, well, I can pray over it and I can eat anything. I can wear clothes and pray over them and it don't mean anything. Listen, I'm so far out. I throw clothes away if I buy something and there's something hidden in it and I don't see it. You say, well, you can pray over it. No. I don't want to put something on that advertises the devil. I want to obey God. And I'm going to walk in healing because this word says, if we obey him and do what the word says, we'll be healed. He said he'll take you. He said, I'm the God, the Lord that healeth thee. And then when we obey him, then we say, Lord, your word says, they that call upon the name of the Lord. And then he said, he took our infirmities. And with his stripes, we were healed. You know, he took the stripes for your healing before he took shed the blood for your salvation.
Right.
And we forget that. We forget that. When you take the Lord's Supper, when you take the bread, you are taking it for the healing of your body. Because it was his body that was beaten and those stripes. You know, there were 39 stripes. And I have heard it. I don't know enough about medicine and so forth, but I heard there was 39 major diseases, and that he had a stripe for every disease, those major ones. And because of it, when we obey his word, when we eat right, when we rest our body, and when we do the things he tells us to do and obey his word and walk in it, we're going to walk not needing healing, but walk in health, divine health. God showed me when I first received the Holy Ghost that there was a place I could walk in God, that I didn't have to be sick. I didn't have to always be receiving healing, that I could walk in health. And that's where we're coming to when we obey the Word of God. And that's what He wants for you and I. And we need to believe His Word. And we need, you see, you know the Word. That's why you get bored after all the teaching sometimes. But the problem is you know it with your head. It's never got into your spirit, in your heart, where you believe it. And we need to say, Lord, I'm telling, asking the Lord, when I found in Scripture that there's many spirits of the Lord, you know, spirits of God. And I don't know if that I found this one yet or not, but I'm saying, Lord, put in me a spirit to believe. So I can believe the way you want me to. I believe, and I want to believe even more. I want faith. He said that he's given me a spirit of love and a spirit of sound mind and a spirit of power. And he's given me the spirit, I ask for the spirit of revelation, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom. And he gives those to us when we ask. So I'm just gone far enough to think if I ask God for anything, you know, to help me to grow with him. I don't ask him for money and wealth and stuff like that. I don't need that. All I need is my car and my suitcase and a place to go to preach the word. But I asked him for wisdom and revelation of his word so I can walk in it for myself and share it with others. He told me a long time ago, he called me to teach it, that he didn't call me to make people believe it. Because I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not your Holy Spirit. No one is. God is wanting to teach you and teach me and have us walk in the wisdom of his word. Healing belongs to us. Get rid of the unforgiveness. Get rid of the things that you're eating and the things you're doing that's an abomination of God. Go back to what he says about witchcraft and the occult. There's over in the Deuteronomy, all those things that are abomination to God. How many times when you're watching TV, when that occult stuff comes on TV, do you turn it off? Or do you sit there and say, well, you know, it doesn't bother me? You're getting garbage off of the TV. And we need to wake up and know what the devil's trying to do to us. Amen?
Amen.
Are you willing to trust the Lord? To obey his word? It's between you and God. It's not between me and you. But I tell you what, I don't think you can get a better deal anywhere. God has given his son. My husband always said this, said God gave his best gift. And he said, salvation is free. Everything God did for us is free. But it costs you everything you got if you're going to serve him. Cost you, and I don't mean, yeah, your money too. How many of you robbed God? Stolen his money. I tell you, people are stolen from him, and then they go and say, Lord, heal me, heal me. It's God's money. So, well, tithing's in the Old Testament. I'll give you the scripture again. Jesus said he didn't come to do away with the word, but to fulfill it. And if the first fruit is his, how can you expect God to heal you if you don't tithe? Tell me. You say, you sure are nosy. Well, I didn't like what I was preaching, I changed it. I am so tired of God's people being sick, being broke, and the world mocking us. We should walk out above sickness, above everything, and the world look at us and say, what have you got, and whatever it is, I need it. Instead, we walk around like the defeat. Well, we blab a lot, but we don't. What we are speaks so loud, God can't hear what we say. And the people can't hear what we say. I mean, I'm really being nosy, aren't I? The Lord is good. He loves us, and he wants us healed. He wants us delivered. He wants us to be overcomers. See, you've got to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when you overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, you walk in the power and authority of the kingdom. And that's where God's calling us to walk. We have heard enough word and things of this word to get everybody in the world saved. Get them all healed. Go into the hospitals. Get them all healed. Get them out. Get the world out of the hospital. Get them healed. The hospital's full of God's people. When you get them healed, get them delivered, get them out of there. Set them free from the hospital. I know. You say, well, you just lost your husband. That's right. He's with the Lord. I'm telling you what, God wants us to rule and reign on this earth and look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. I quit. But we need to get rid of our unforgiveness. I want you to think about it. We've had a lot of teaching on this in the last 2 days. Unforgiveness has been brought forth. The sins of the forefathers. You say, well, I can't help what I am. I'm under, my sins of my forefathers, iniquity of my father. Yeah, you can. You can come out from under them, and you can walk in freedom. You can walk in prosperity. God says he would supply all your need according to his riches and glory. But why is he going to supply it? When we obey him, when we are willing to stop stealing from him, you know, we might need to go back and look how far back we've robbed him and give him his money. Amen?
He says you got to add a fifth to it.
Got to give the interest. You hear that? A fifth to add to it. We need to give, honor God, honor his word, and walk in the power and authority that he's given unto us, and go forth preaching the gospel. He said, well, he didn't call me to preach. What did he say? As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he say? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. He said, freely you have received. He said, we stop with that. But he said, freely you've received. Now you give freely. He said, freely, freely you have received. So we've received freely. He gave us everything. And he wants us to go and give. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now you got to read Revelation chapter 22.
Okay.
You can't quit with that.
All right.
That's the commandments are not done away with.
Give me the verse.
22.
Okay. 22.
Verse 12, 13, and 14.
Okay. He said in verse 12, said, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do, not keep. He says do. Do you see that little word? It didn't say keep. You know, we can keep them. You can put them up on your wall and keep them. That's about the way we keep it, you know. He said, do his commandments that they may have right. Oh, boy, listen to this. To the tree of life.
Yeah.
When we do His commandments and obey them, we walk forth and do them. We have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates and to the city. You don't want to be in this verse. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. We lie to ourselves sometimes. We need to get rid of it. And we need to do the commandments of the Lord so we'll be blessed. What's the greatest blessing you can have? To walk in the fullness of God, the things of God. And God wants to do that for you and I. He wants to pour out upon you the Spirit and the power of that He has died to give us, the healing, everything when we obey His word, when we keep His commandments and do that which is pleasing in His sight. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, anybody want deliverance? It's time for dinner. Can I have deliverance? Okay. We're going to do some deliverance for those that want it. And if you want deliverance, let me tell you. Demons are spirit. They're breath. They breathe in and breathe out and work on getting them out. You've got to work inside of you to make them come out when I call the names of them. I'm going to call the names, and when I call something, you say, well, I ain't got that. How you know? What you need to say is, if I got that, it's got to go. Amen? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these people, and I thank you, Father, for your word. Now, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as we go into deliverance, we just bind the enemy. We bind the strong man, each one, and we bind the enemy from the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. And when we call the name, they'll come out, have to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask for angels, as many as we need, that you would send them in here to stand guard, and that every demon taken out will be carried to the pit and not left in this place to do any damage in Jesus' name. And Father, I just thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just give you praise, honor, and glory. You said they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. So, Father, I ask you now just to deliver those that call upon you. And you said that you would, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I come against that spirit of bitterness, that root of bitterness, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all bitterness and anger and resentment. In the name of Jesus, rejection that comes through it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and let go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, turn loose and come out. Root of bitterness, rejection, insecurity, lack of confidence. Come out there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. In the name of Jesus, spirits of hate and rage and murder. In the name of Jesus, spirits of suicide. Loosen them and let them go. Come on out there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, call those things out and make them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, spirits of error, I call out the gall, that root of bitterness and the gall that comes from it in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, turn loose and let them go. I call envy and strife and wrath, let them go. Come on out there now in Jesus' name. Malice, evil speaking, spirits of blasphemy and spite in Jesus' name. Come on, let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of sorrow and grief, pain, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of witchcraft, fornication, cursing, insecurity, rejection of God, come out there. Rejection, all spirits of rejection, turn them loose and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, I call out all the deception, hate, rage. In the name of Jesus, anger, resentment, bitterness, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of strife, envy, murder, in Jesus' name. Come on out there. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all anger, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let them go. I come against that deafness in the name of Jesus. Spirits of deafness, come out of there. Yes. Come out of there. Let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. All the deaf spirits, the one that keeps you from hearing, come out of there. Come out of there. In the name of Jesus Christ, all sickness and disease, come out of there. Spirits of infirmity, in the name of Jesus. Heart attacks, high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, in the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. Eating of the blood, disobedience, a spirit of disobedience to the word of God. Come out of there. Let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Does anybody know the ruler behind deafness? Spirit of deafness. Spirit of deafness. A deaf and dumb spirit. Come out of there. Unclean spirit. Let them go. Listen to me. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirits of tumor. Spirits of cancer of the blood. All cancer spirits, let them go in the name of Jesus. Cancer of the lungs, cancer of the pancreas, cancer of the liver, come out of them. All tumors, come out of their name, Jesus. And cancer of the colon, in the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Block the arteries, come out of there. All spirits of death, come out of there. Spirits of death, listen to them. Listen to them and come out of there. I break the assignment of death of everyone in this church. And in the name of Jesus, I call the spirit of death out. Come out of them. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the death. All the words spoken of death. Come out of their name. In Jesus' name. Oh, cancel the assignment of it. Sickness and disease. Come out of them. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go. Spirits of blindness. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Come on out of there now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heart attacks. Block the arteries. I think of the heart's problems.
Congested heart failure.
Congested heart failure. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Emphysema. Spirits of emphysema. Come out of there. All allergies. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of them. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All the drugs. All those mind-altering drugs. Come out of there now. Tranquilizers. Painkillers, all mind-altering drugs, let them go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. All of the allergies, asthma, hay fever, sinus drainage, sinus blockage, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, migraine headaches. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name, all blood disorder, come out of there now. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Doubt and unbelief, all the doubt and unbelief and fear, come out of there. Fear, come out of there. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Come out of there, fear. Let them go. All fears, big fears, great fears, little fears, little fears, come out of there. Turn loose and let them go. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirits of fornication, incest, child abuse, come out of them. Come out of them. Homosexuality, lesbian spirits, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them in Jesus' name. Well, praise the Lord. Come out of my throat. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loosen them. Let them go. Come on out of there. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. All infirmities, gallbladder, witchcraft. I call the witchcraft out of the gallbladder in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. All those migraine headaches and those sinus headaches, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Spirits of blindness. Physical blindness and spiritual blindness. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. God has given him a name that's above every name. That every name bows to the name of Jesus Christ. For his name is higher than every name. I call all the pain out of the body right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fear. Fear of cancer. Fear of death. Fear of poverty. Fear of people. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen them and come out of there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the unbelief and doubt. Doubt and unbelief. Come out of there. Come out of there. In Jesus' name. I call out that spirit of robbing God.
In the name of Jesus, we break the power of it. I call out every curse from eating pork, eating abominable things. Come out of them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. I call those worms out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and come out of there. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I call out all intellectual spirits that debate the word. Come out of there now. That won't let you receive. Come out of there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of Lords. And Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, restore the soul of everyone here in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Got something on me, call out. Unbelief and doubt. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Four stops and one guy, want me to call out? Depression. Fear of depression. I break every curse of fear of depression and call it out. All the depression. Come out of there. Come out of there. Let her go. Let her go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Turn her loose and let her go. In Jesus' name. All depression and fear of it. In the name of Jesus. Insanity and fear of being insane. Come out of there. Madness. Come out of there. In the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of nervous breakdown. Come out of there. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Let her go. Let her go. All the depression. All the depression. In the name of Jesus.
Come out in the name of Jesus.
Wicked renters.
Wicked renters. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Come on out of there, all that evil. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out all the protectors in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every protector. Come out of there. Let them go. And I call out the false counselor, the one that's counseling. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And false personality, double-mindedness, come out of there. Every double-minded spirit, come out of there in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Anybody else have anything else? We're going to stop now, okay? Jesus.
Ex-wives.
I break the soul tie with you and your ex-wife and not any ex-wife and anybody in the name of Jesus, and I call the souls out in Jesus' name. I break the soul tie with ex-husbands and call their souls out in Jesus' name. I won't be outdone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you. Okay. Let's raise our hands and let's ask the Father to fill us. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask that now that you just by your Spirit you fill, Father, fill us afresh and anew with your presence. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit, the spirits of the living God. We thank you, Father, for filling every place. In Jesus' name, I bind everything that's left. I ask you to cleanse the church, Father, send in a sweeper and clean the church. In the name of Jesus, I bind backlash and retaliation. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, just let your Holy Spirit just fall down upon each one. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father. We praise you to minister. I ask you to let a ministering spirit minister to each one now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I loose within each one a spirit of might so when we come back tonight, we'll be refreshed and ready for the word tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you and give you glory now for all that you've done in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask you to bless the food. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. We thank you for the hands that prepared it. And Lord, we just thank you that as you have fed our spirit man, we ask now, Lord, that the physical food will feed our flesh and to break any curses from the ground over the food or any curses that's been spoken over the food from any place in the name of Jesus. And we receive strength from it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.